Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to the regular Fridays with Fran, released on a Thursday as part of the From the Horse's Mouth. We look ahead to Dundalk and anything else in the world of horse racing. Fran, I texted you earlier in the week to give you the running order and you responded with, yeah, we'll look at Uruguay, South America, whatever you want, PK. And we haven't delved down into that far, but we will get to Ferry House, to Cheltenham, to Dundalk and maybe a couple other places as well.
Yeah, and we've of course forgot about Pegasus World Cup is on Saturday night, of course.
I did forget about it, but I did look at the entries and I thought, I didn't really recognise them. Did you know any of the horses? Oh.
Not really. And just following Frankie Dettori, Nick Luck's journey across America at present. So that's as interested I've got in the race, but it'd be good watching Saturday night, I suppose, if you're sitting in.
It will. Yeah. Even the two turf races, I thought, oh, we'll get something, but I just couldn't find it. But Frankie, of course, his retirement tour is going to be good fun, isn't it? He's going nicely, isn't he?
It's going to be an interesting year, but I've seen him ride a couple of winners at Santa Anita, and I think I tweeted, why does he need to retire? You know, he's just riding so well, but obviously he wants to go out at the top, Frankie, but I love looking at him on any occasion, but in particular in America, I love the way he rides the tracks out there, and I always think he raises his game a little bit when he's over there, and it's great watching.
He's a man for the big occasion, and he only does big occasions now, much like yourself, Fran, much like yourself.
Exactly, yeah. It would be interesting to see if he makes that trip to Listowel as agreed in his last month of riding, probably it'll be a month ahead of British Champions Day, won't it, yeah.
Pat Cash Healy is one of those influential men in the world of horse racing. He'll get him down to the stall, no doubt. And before we get stuck into the world of the Dawkins, I have a few bits of news for you. A reminder, do check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. It's new, it's brilliant. First two episodes, not parts, first two episodes of the Cheltenham Countdown are live on that, with Rory DeLarge and Ruby Walsh looking ahead to, we've got 5 races covered already. And also, brand new podcast, a spin-off show. The Cheltenham Countdown Extra is available with Tom Nugent and Frank Hickey. I was going to say they have a look at the races that Rory and Ruby looked at, but I don't know if you've listened to it, Fran. It basically just takes the piss out of us, really. I think it's fair to say. Is that what a spin-off is about?
I think so, yeah. Do you ever look at The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead? It's something like that, I'd say, is it?
Fear the Walking Dead. Now, there we go. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We've had it. It's been called a few names anyway. They're keen on Big Brother's Little Brother or something like that, but anyway... it's really good fun, and Frank obviously gives you a very detailed rundown of the races that we had looked to earlier in the week. Also, we are building up to the Dublin Racing Festival here. Can't wait for it. It is next weekend as we record, and free tickets alert if you retweet or quote tweet rather any of the tweets regarding any of the podcasts. Use the hashtag FDHM, say something nice, you'll be in the draw to win tickets to the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day, which is the Saturday, the first day of DRF. It's going to be a brilliant day. Remember, it's a bank holiday weekend. I keep forgetting that's a bank holiday weekend, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, especially for the Sunday of the Dublin Racing Festival. It's going to be fantastic. I'd imagine it'll give the day a boost, won't it? People be all out,
so.
You know?
Yeah. I think Ireland are in the rugby. Do we play Italy? Anyway, we're playing and that'll be on the big screens and all. It's really good. If you haven't been, it's probably one of the best meetings to go to for a first timer. Free tickets are available. Fran, you're going to be there?
Dublin Racing Festival both days. Yeah, work for Racing TV and probably out on the Sunday night and off my holidays on the Monday. So, yeah.
Where are you off to?
Tenerife.
Oh, jeez. Mm. For the week? Are we doing Fridays of Fran in Tenerife?
No, we're actually missing a week that week. The poly track in Tenerife is not that good, so we'll give it a skip. But if I fancy anything, I'll send it on. You can mention it on your Friday morning podcast or something, yeah.
Okay, we'll do. Oh, geez, don't know what I'm going to do. Also, we have a brand new episode of Punter's Panel.
You could do a spin-off show, actually, PK.
the spin-off at this stage. There is sand racing in Spain, San Lucar. Check it out, Google it. It's on the beach. It's unreal. The footage is incredible. Yeah, they're still racing there as well. Not necessarily this weekend, but if you think Laytown was nuts, this is next level. Like, they go around turns almost on the beach.
Have a look. Yeah. Dude, I've seen pictures of that in the past, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And they open the beach afterwards and people just go out and swim after, in between each races. It is Yeah, health and safety be going crazy.
There is none.
there literally is none. Sangria, plenty. One more thing to remind you about. We've got a Punters panel episode up and coming. Now, previously, we've got you on the show. We're going to make it easier for you to get your questions in. Just email your questions to fthm@paddypower.com and Mark will pick them up and we'll be posing questions to Rory Ruby and Fran himself. So get those questions in for that episode. Okay, let's look ahead to Dundalk. This is what we're here to do, Fran Berry. Colin Keane is back riding at the track, which is great. He's got some very interesting rides. We're going to kick off with a claimer at 4:30, in which Colin Keane, for the first time of a few times, is going to team up with James McCauley, which is eye-catching, in on Beyond Boundaries, who I think will be fancied on ratings. Him and Hurricane Helen are the ones to concentrate on as far as I'm concerned. What are you thinking?
Yeah, good to see Colin back. Of course, he had his first two rides of the year in Maidan last week, Michael O'Callaghan and I Am Superman and Fast and a Crown Boat ran with great credit on their first starts in the Emirates. And, you know, good to see Colin back to reality, if you like, in Dundalk and Friday night. It won't be like Maidan anyway, I suppose. But start with Beyond Boundaries. If he got back to something like that run at Suddle two starts ago, he would be a player. That was for Stable Debut, was his first run for almost a year when he made his debut for McCauley's back in December. He's taken a drop down and trip and he should be sharper for that comeback run. You'd have to respect him, but Hurricane Helen, you've given good mention. I can see the angle there, PK, but she's a multiple winner in the UK over a mile. I just question, being by Goody fan, I have a Royal Applause mare, whether the extra 2.5 furlongs will suit her. She lost a lot of ground to start last time, but on balance, all of her best form is at a mile. That said, running in Claim and Company, it won't be as quite intense a tempo as the handicaps company that she's been keeping. Number 11, Final Fantasy, is way down the bottom of the weights and wrong at the ratings with a lot of his rivals, but is a pace angle and actually has an okay record at this trip. And number 2, Chimeric, he's not from 29, but ran a cracker here the last day. He's actually only had 6 runs on the all weather and he's performed with some credit. It's not a good race. It's a horse restricted to 65 rating and under disclaimer. And I'm going to go with a horse that he hasn't done us any harm in his last two starts. We put him up in as more of an each way selection and make the switch. Each of them runs over 2 miles have been with credit. And he has been a previous winner over a mile and a half. He is dropping right down the trip here, but I think it's that early in a race with a lot of suspect non-stairs in the race and a decent pace, likely with the likes of Final Fantasy in it, that hopefully make the switch a little bit of class, if you like, for the grade, his recent handicap form. If he can just tack onto the back at his speed with a kind of draw and stall 3 mid-division, I think he'll finish strongly down the long straight. I'm hoping if he can hold his place early on, he will keep on best late on.
Lovely. Make the switch for John McConnell. Plenty of chat about his Mahler's Mission earlier on. A few previews. We've been talking about him for the National Chase and maybe even the Brown Advisory. But that 4:30, John McConnell's Make the Switch. By the way, that is one of 4 extra place races. Now, that's a claimer. And we're going to go 4 places. So that's really generous. We're also going to be 4 places in the 5 o'clock, 6:30 and 7:30. So 4 extra place races at Dundalk on Friday night. One more race to look at before we dip into Cheltenham at the weekend. It is a handicap over the same trip, 1.25 miles. Probably one of the better races of the night. Top weight rated 80 here. You got Havana Pearl for Mick Halford and Wayne Lorden down the bottom. Jete Port for Gavin Cromwell's been running well. Burren Song, the Informado McGuinness has got Barrowman with Colin Keane booked, which is eye-catching because on form, he's got it to do.
Yeah, and Burman, I put him up to last year. I thought the drop down class was really going to play to his strengths on the back of a decent enough previous run, but he ran no race at all and it was much too bad to be true. I can only watch him here tonight. And I think it's a stronger race than what he took on last time. There's a number of these horses who are on good marks. Top weight, What Harm, 6 wins on the track, all in around a mile, but he performed very well over a mile and a half last time. I don't think he saw it last furlong. He's back down to 10.5 furlongs. That should suit him very well. Number 5, Halcyon Spirit, very good run last time. And Higher Kingdom. Kingdom was a big eye catcher last time and making late ground over this distance, having been a wide margin winner at a mile. Not the most straightforward Higher Kingdom. I'm not sure I'd trust him. And then you've JT Port, likely pace angle. She's well up in the ratings for her recent runs. And number 11, Havana Pearl. We tipped her up about 2, if not 3 times, all over 7 furlongs in a mile. I said last week, she can't stay a mile and a quarter. First run, 10 starts, she duly won. She's paid a price for that. She's up 9 pounds in the ratings, but she could well have found her niche now. She's by Camelot. Maybe connections have been running her the wrong trip for the last 2 years, probably, and time will tell that. But for me, Rum, Bull, What Harm and Burn Song are the three to concentrate in this race. We spoke about What Harm. Burn Song was too keen over a mile and a half last week. Again, dropping back to distance, that one went over a mile and a quarter, should suit very well. Just drawn to Roman Bulldog, number three. I thought his two runs at a poly track following that win at Clonmel have been very good. That race in late September behind Man Behind the Money has worked out extremely well since then. And he looked quite big in the ring on his comeback run after almost 3 months off here in early January, where he travelled best of all through the race and was probably the last horse to come off the bridle, going to a furlong and a half out before fading somewhat inside the final furlong. I think he got tired on that occasion, and I think off his current rating, there's plenty of upside. Billy Lee, who's won on him, is back in the saddle with the benefit of that comeback run. Roman Bull is the choice, but I would have respect for What Harm at the top.
Okay, for Michael William O'Mara, who trains. He's had a handful of runners over the last few years. Don't know a huge amount of it. A couple of winners, though. He's had a couple of runners each of the last couple of years.
Decent strike rate. I think he's a private trainer for the owners. Okay. He trains in their premises, from what I know.
Very good. Okay. Watch out for Roman Bull in the 5 o'clock. Okay. That's the first two races of Dockton. Let's change tack to what is a stunning card at Cheltenham on Saturday. As we record, we're recording at about 11:30 on Thursday. So the declarations have kind of just filtered through. So no real opportunity for you to get a deep dive into these, Fran, but there's a hell of a lot of interesting runners. Where are your eyes immediately drawn, Cheltenham on Saturday?
Yeah, my iPad is just playing up here a little bit, but with Dex, but Comfort Zone is declared for the first race, and shocking conditions at Chepstow when he won, but I love the way he went through the race on that occasion, and he's been given a UK rating of 131, which is really interesting how he shapes up again on Saturday against the British Juveniles. It'll give us a good guide as regards to Fred Winter, Boodle's handicap at Cheltenham, and a Triumph Hurl as to the standard of horse. I've a couple of friends who are very much into UK jumping and Irish jumping, obviously, but they reckon the juveniles in England are no good. I think Comfort Zone will give us another line on that on Better Ground on Saturday. So it'd be really interesting to see him run. And we have a Grand National Cross Country Trial, of course, Delta Work, Manila Times, yeah. Grand National winner 2 years ago. Delta Work, the horse that broke Tiger Old's hearts and a lot of people's hearts at Cheltenham last year, of course. And
he was nearly booed at the winner's enclosure. Yeah. Could you imagine it?
I love the way people came and say, why didn't you just let Tiger Old win?
That was gas, wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway. The softer the ground, the better his chance, I suppose. And he had his recent comeback run at Punchestown where he scraped home, but that was a good performance and he should be all the better for that. And at times, fascinating to see him in a cross-country sphere and see if that rejuvenates him back to something like his best. And Ray Mash.
FPB3P, the form figures from Nella Times. That does scream, let's put him over the banks. Like, doesn't it?
Just roll the dice, isn't it? And hope it rejuvenates him. And as you know, he's a good traveller. He's got the class and it's not that long ago since entry. So hopefully he can get back to something like that. But it's a little bit of a leap of faith following that Grand National win and everything else is a bonus, I suppose. And Patrick Mullins writes Ray Maj for the Griffin team. But look, that's a cracking race to watch and get plenty of clues from that, as you will with the sixth race. Noble Yates, he's the Springer in the Gold Cup market, isn't he? And what he done at Aintree, be very, very interesting to see him back at Cheltenham and see how he performs there off that win at Aintree. All his best form to an extent is on flat tracks, and just be interested with the context of the Gold Cup to see how he does shape up. And of course, he's had been the one big beneficiary of the meeting being delayed a week. He wouldn't have been able to run with the vaccination or last week or admin or if you like. So see how he goes against Proteracat. But him and Energy Mean and Edward Stone, we spoke about it last week. Energy Mean just wins.
He wins. Cracking card, isn't it?
You're going over in a freebie, I think, aren't you? For the sponsors,
As producer Mark has already told us to mention, Paddy Power sponsored this card, would you believe, Fran? Including the big race today, which you didn't mention, actually. The 150s, the Paddy Power Cheltenham Countdown Podcast Handicap Chase.
It's a good podcast, to be fair. Yeah.
it's a good race and even better podcast. Yeah. And it's on YouTube as well.
PK, nine race in Cheltenham and seven in Fairy House. Give me a break, will you?
yeah. Looking forward to it. Yeah. We might pop over. If you're in Cheltenham in the area on Saturday, pop into the Cheltenham shop and I'll be there for about an hour and a half. We're going to free bets. We're going to have a bit of fun. And
is that before you go to Top Floor for the day and Bond's Sandwiches, yeah.
TBC, whether I'm big enough, I've never got an ego big enough to get there, whether I actually get the ticket is the next thing, I'm afraid. Sure, look, we'll see how we go. But yeah, do pop into the Cheltenham shop on Saturday morning. We'll be there. We're going to have good fun. Yeah, really looking forward to that card. Sponsored by Paddy Power, load of races, including
it's a cracking card to learn when you take Cheltenham this Saturday in context and then Dublin Racing Festival next. Oh. 8 days are going to tell a lot, aren't they?
It's a good time to be a racing fan. There's no doubt about that.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's go to Dundalk, where we have a mile handicap due off at 5:30. This one is headed in the handicap by La Tulipe Noire, Kieran Murphy and Declan McDonough. Now, Colin Keane again rides for James McCauley, this time aboard Pub Talk. Billy Lee's on McAlford's Jazz Forever. I suppose Pub Talk, La Tulipe Noire, going to be the ones to focus on?
Yeah, we'll start with the top two in the weights, at least, La Tulipe Noire. Produced in the last 50 hours at least a very game performance to beat Den of Iniquity. It was Day of the Fog. It was the only race that was run on that occasion. And it looked like she made up in distance from that 7-4 run to track, made all to win and hung on grimly inside the last 50 yards. And opening market 79, handicapper hasn't taken any chances. Maybe he's seen more in that race than we did. But I'm not quite sure about that.
Was he in a truck with Ken Whelan driving behind the horse? Like, how
exactly. Clocking it on the inside is right. And Pub Talk was a bit of a revelation dropping down trip last time. He's back up to a mile. I think 7 furlongs suits him far better than the mile distance here. And I'd be happy to watch him off his higher rating here. Number three, Arabian Legend, is worth a look in the market. Could be well handicapped, but I do think 7 furlongs may well suit him better, given he can be extremely keen in his races and he faded tamely when last seen back in July at Killarney. Opening mark 75 is interesting with the hood on first time. It would give him a look. And number five, Dubai Spectre, similar profile actually to Arabian Legend in some respects, but his main form, in theory, he could be very, very well handicapped. Go back to his second run at Nace, where he finished behind Auguste Rodin. Number four, Keep In Touch, he was ahead of him on that occasion, is rated in the 90s. Young Ireland, who was third, is rated in the 90s. And he's only a couple lengths behind Shadowed, who's in the high 90s. And Arabian Legend finished seventh on that occasion as well. The form ties in. Both of them have potential upsides. From Arabian Legend, I'd be happy to watch the trip. And Dubai Spectre has been gelded after looking a bit mulish at Listowel when last seen on handicap debut. And I think the Polytrack will suit him well. And I'll definitely be looking at him in the prairie ring to see how he looks in every way, attitude-wise and fitness-wise. But he could be handicapped a lot. But the most recent form, PK, and the best form on offer in the context of this race tonight is number six, Jazz Forever, trained by Mick Halford. And this one was a big eye-catcher in his second start, a big price. He probably went off far too quick for his own good, and he paid a price around the last furlong when fading to be four to stay with companion Dabaran. And ridden last time, we were restrained by Sam Ewing. He shaped far better in the bare result, not getting a great run at a vital stage, but he finished off really well once getting into the clear. And I think an opening mark at 71 with Billy Lee booked a good draw on stall number three on handicap debut, I think is very workable on the back of that. And his recent fitness may well just tell over to Barry Spector.
Okay. Jazz Forever for Mick Halford. And you know, I like my breeding, Fran. And that Dubai Spector should not be anywhere near 74 on breeding. Now, obviously, those are the races and that's the form shot and has been beaten in a handicap. But the Dam, obviously, we know about Dubawi, superstar sire. The Dam Spectre, I mean, she was very good. She
good was German mare, wasn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she was fourth in Ribchester's Queen Anne. She was fourth in the pre-Jacques Lamarat, Deauville. She's basically beaten a couple of lengths in a bunch of group ones over a mile.
Has she any Dundalk form or all-weather form?
Let me check. I don't see any
Did you say Ascot form transfers to the all-weather or vice versa? So there you go. Yeah,
that's literally it.
I would be very afraid of Dubawi Spector on his handicap rating, but I didn't like his attitude in Listowel, so... You know, you're going to have to get a look at them pre-race. Tune into Racing TV.
We always do on a Friday. Friday Club it is. Right, let's move on to a pretty interesting maiden, actually, the 6 o'clock. This is possibly going to be one of those should you, shouldn't you races. And the horse in question is Bold Rib for Joseph O'Brien, who has been beaten at 1-4 and 6-5 in his last two starts. He is miles ahead of these on ratings, those who have ratings, Fran, in the 6 o'clock. He could be... one of those horses who goes off a silly price because you think he's just going to find one too good again, or is he?
PK, I don't know, I spent a couple hours on the card here this morning, and it's probably the race that I wanted to attack and take, and I've seen Bold Rib top of it. Well, I said there's one to be taken on. I've gone down through them every way I can look at it, and unless he pulls himself up, he should win, because I know he looked very mulish last time, but that was his second quick run in succession. I think backing up after a 42-day break, the blinkers are taken off and he's back to 7 furlongs, where his best performance probably was in his second start, with his second to Charlize. For all he got beaten at 1-4, I couldn't trust him as far as I'd throw him, which is not very far, but there's just nothing. I'd love to take him on. See Oscar, number 11. I'm quite fascinated why Joseph O'Brien take her on, stale companion, of course, at Bold Rib, formerly with William Haggis, rated 67 in the UK, got beaten at Pontefract Maiden at 6, 7, 8 runs in France, and her best run came probably in her last run, looking at the video, in Deauville in a mile and a half race. As to what grade it was, I don't know the French form as regards that, but she did travel well up to a point on an artificial surface, but you're grasping a bit. But I would have respect for her for all that she's dropping down trip, but Circles, you can give her a little chance, rate of 53. At least she's genuine and runs a race every time, but off her mark. But she's fully rated £24 below Bold Rib. And Dennis Hogan's import, Pastel Power, had one run in July from Sir Michael Stout. He got to go back to November 21, where his form actually, he was second to Maritime Rules, who's been beaten in Dundalk for Gerlieri on a couple of occasions, probably ran to a mark in the low 70s. We'll keep an eye on the mark for Pastel Power, but pains me to say it, I think Bold Rib can only beat himself, and being drawn out wide is not a bad thing. He may be better off just coming down a standside rail on his own. So it's grudgingly I go for Bold Rib because I can't find anything to beat him.
You kind of hope he's artificially a big price, because a lot of traders or some traders will go, look, we can take this fella on, he's going to get beat. But I was the same as you, I was looking down, I was like, God, nothing can beat him. Like, but anyway, we'll
exactly. And he's always going to make a market in this greater race, and you'd love to find one to take him on. I just can't. I've scratched around every which way, but I can't find one at present anyway.
2 hours. Good man. I love it. The fact you're doing 2 hours of research. And let's look at the 630.
This does not happen by accident. You know?
Again, he's showing me his ridiculous notes with the amount of highlighters. You should pop into Power Terror. We have an unbelievable amount of highlighters. You're going to have great fun there.
Yeah. I must call up someday and get a few freebies. Yeah.
Absolutely should. Before we go to look at the Irish action of the weekend, actually, we'll have a quick look at Fairy House and Ace. Is it Ace on Sunday? It is. Yeah. Fairy House and Ace. Let's look at the 6:30 handicap over 7 furlongs, in which, well, we're looking at again for positive jockey bookings, and James McCauley and Colin Keane team up again, this time with Scarlet Dancer, who probably will be a decent price. Maestro Stick, Bronze River, Tawazon, they're probably all going to be fancy, particularly Maestro Stick, who won last time out. Gavin Ryan rides right at the bottom of the handicap. What are you thinking?
Yeah, very competitive race, and it's going to be a lot of pace on here, PK. Number one, Hypernova always plays along at a good gallop, and you've got Maestro Stick, who was a game winner here recently, stall number one. He also likes to get on the pace, so each of them should ensure a good pace. Number 10, very likely race, Philly Hay Khmer. I'll be watching with interest with a view to the future. I think she's very well handicapped on balance of her form, but I'd be happy to watch her here on her return to action after 300 days off, and she can be quite fresh in her races. But a mark of 57, I think, is really workable for her, but she's probably a work in progress for the next day. Big Money Heff is booked to ride her, encouraging enough, but I will be looking elsewhere on this occasion. Dennis Hogan's got two really interesting horses in the race, Tawazan and Bronze River, both of them stepping back up and trip to 7 furlongs should suit really well. I'd be leaning towards Tawazan, who raced in a much higher grade last time and is back to his best trip. With a kind enough draw and stall, number 8, and Sean Bone again taking off 7 pounds. He should go very well. However, there's a horse, number 12, Selective Power, we put up 3 weeks ago. And on paper, you read 8-14, beaten 5.5 lengths, a very disappointing run. I think everything on the day that could go wrong went wrong for me. He was just taken out of his comfort zone with a very strong pace initially. And he was on the outer turning in, and he showed a tendency to hang slightly to his left under pressure, but under right-hand driving in cross, he basically drifted all the way across the track. He was not beaten that far. I think he's better than the bear formed up by a long way. And encouragingly, Chris Hayes is back on board, who won him 2 starts ago. He was very bullish about him post-race when he won on that occasion. He thought he was going to progress well, and he was well-backed on that occasion to beat Linus Arabi. And for me, I'm prepared with a low draw, number 4, and Chris Hayes back to give Selective Power with a strong pace, likely to suit. And Chris, knowing him well, I think he's worth another chance to bottom the weights.
Watch out for Sabina Power's Collective Power in the 6:30 at Dundalk. All right. Irish racing this weekend. We have got Ferriers on Saturday. It is I think we'll call it the type of card you'd get the weekend before the DRF. The same with Nace. I mean, there's a couple of grade threes at Nace on Sunday, but we do have the declarations for Saturday at Ferriers as we speak. The Solarina Mares Novices to feature. Anything catch your eye from that card?
Yeah, look, it's smaller fields actually than what you'd expect. And the Beginner's Chase, Braun and Clondalkin Hollow and Grandeira Bello would just be a race to watch. Braun wouldn't be one to be piling into him at short odds, but it's hard to back against Willie Mullins. And if everything goes not to plan at Cheltenham with that 9-race card, the 356 is a horse I've been waiting on for a little bit of time. Wait till I tell you, I gave it a mention on our post Christmas podcast when you were still down in Australia sunning yourself, and wait till I tell you, was a big eye catcher Christmas, making his comeback run. Have not raced since the previous March. He stayed on strongly without being knocked about, having jumped off dead last in the run on a day that was very hard to make up ground. And he was a previous winner, beating his stale companion. Interesting enough, Eddie Cawley's got 3 runners in this race, but wait till I tell you, beat Native Gold last year, Navin, and the way he finished off at Limerick. Now, the race in Limerick has taken a few knocks. 3 or 4 horses that were ahead of him have all been well beaten since, but they had harder races, I think, than this horse had on the day. And with Keane Quirk claimer the moment this week, and he's had 3 winners. He's seen a very good effect getting up in line to win a maiden hurdle yesterday to beat Davy Russell. I think that's a sign of intent for the Cawley team. And wait till I tell you, I'll be waiting for him tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, he's in the final race on the card at Ferriers. Keane Quirk, the jockey you mentioned, if you haven't seen his ride on that winner in the Limestone Lag Colours on Wednesday? Tuesday? Yeah, it was earlier this week. It is brilliant. I think Racing TV popped it up on their Twitter. Maggie Walsh, thank you. We all kind of should have been looking for those colours this week. Do you know why? Because there's the Solarina Mares hurdle on Saturday and there's the Limestone Lad hurdle on Sunday.
And it was great to see them back in with his enclosure and the board team. You know, they've had a couple of runners along the way and runners recently, and it's nice seeing them back in with his enclosure, especially at Ferriers.
If you can, and you got to, I don't know, look for the TG Cahir player. Sorry, for those in the UK, that's basically our Irish language TV channel. They did a series on racing legends there. It was about a year or so ago. And they went down to the Bows to look at Limestone Lad. And that is a hell of a story. Like, I mean, when you think about the races he won from his background, unreal. And then Solarina to come along straight away afterwards. So they'll be remembered this weekend at both Ferry House and also at Nace, which is great. Never forget when he beat Istor Brack Limestone Lad. I think it's about 1-7 or something like that.
It was Hatton's Grace, wasn't it?
I think it was Hatton's Grace. Yeah. I saw the footage. It was grainy. It was grainy footage, but it's pretty. So watch it.
Shane McGovern wrote him, I think. Gary Hutchinson, maybe one of them anyway. Yeah.
He couldn't claim 7. I think he was claiming 7 at the time. Yeah. Well, Keane Quirk and Michael Ball team up on Saturday as well on Hal Safari in those colours again in the 101 as well. So we keep an eye out for those connections.
Keane is a good day.
exactly. Your Cheltenham anti-post portfolio, Francis Berry. Well, at the moment, we've got Flame Bear for the Turners, Michael Arkell. We've got a lot of joy for the Mares.
I'm happy enough with that too, playing to the odds, this point, yeah.
A lot of joy for the Mares. Forget that. Champ Kylie, you put up for the Ballymore last week. Happy days. Was there anything you'd like to add to the anti-post portfolio?
Yeah, I'm going to hedge my bets with the Mares Novice Hurl PK. Lotta Joy hasn't gone to plan so far. She was obviously beat at Christmas at a little bit over even money, where she maybe got mugged late on not having jumped the last all that well. Jury's out in her as Cheltenham, particularly at 2 miles, 1 furlong. So I'll put her off for the Ascot Stakes, 2.5 miles in Royal Ascot.
We'll get your prize for that.
She's second in this, or ran very well in the Cesarewitch, and she looks a type that he'll aim at that. So if it doesn't work out in Cheltenham, we'll get her money back in Ascot. And I'm going to add in Willie Mullins won 2-dot race in Mares Novice Hurl, night and day. I was in Clonmel last week when she won on her second start in Ireland. She's a very interesting background. She had 4 runs in the flat as a 3 and 4 year old in France. And how she ran the flat at that stage of her career as a 3 year old for in the Gold of COVID colours, the Blue and White colours, I don't know. She's a giant. She must be 17 hands. Been given plenty of time by Willie. She's 6 year old now, 3 years on from that, and made her stable debut in Grade 1 company at Easter last year. Never sighted, but I thought the way she went through the race, heavily backed on debut at Clonmel, was taking. And the current price of 7-1, we'll add her to the portfolio. I think Asher O'Diamond, for the same connections, work in progress. I think she's entered this weekend, Diamond.
She's on Saturday, yeah.
She looks like one that they're bringing along slowly, but I think Night and Day is a little bit under radar, if you like, and it's race Willie's pitched in with a couple of runners every year. He's had the odd surprise result in it.
Lovely.
Okay. When they jump anyway, at least, or don't jump.
Wasn't that the race he had the newcomer finished second at 66, is beaten by a 33-1 shot? I can't remember. It was an Ophelia, I think, wrote it. They can surprise, but keep an eye for Night and Day in the Mares Novice, the Dawn Run.
Eglant de Suy.
Eglantine de Suy. Very good. Thank you very much. Right. Back to Dundalk, back to the meat and drink. We've got a rated race for 3 year olds at 7 o'clock. So we could see a decent little winner here. Four of these have won recently, including 3 of them won last time out. I say this is a nightmare to price up, to be honest. The previous winners of the recent last time out winners are Song for Whoever, Anan, and Dynamite Katie. Brazilian Princess, though, for Adrian Murray is interesting in the Amo Racing Silks. Where are we going?
Yeah, do you know what? It's a cracking race, and you know, you can make a case for most runners in the race on their best days. Start number one, Cool Calm Collected. He didn't get 7 furlongs last week, or maybe the step up class. He probably got beaten by 2 better, more progressive horses at the trip. Stormy Entry was very impressive there. He's had a good run, Cool Calm Collected, and I'm happy to go against him given the quick turnaround. And maybe he's just hit a little bit of a peak for all that. He's a very genuine horse. Song Forever, whom beat Stormy Entry, who beat Cool Calm Collected last week, was a ready winner, beating that Stormy Entry in debut, bouncing back to something like his debut form. Anan got a freebie in the front end when beating Ninth Life, and I think a stronger opposition to face here for all that. Hugh Horgan again takes off to £7, and he's got a good draw to go forward and get on the speed and stall one. But Brazilian Princess likely to take him on the front end, and it could set it up to be quite a test. And I'm quite interested. Number 5, Dynamite Katie, thought she'd done extremely well to win on her second start. She was shaped a promise on debut, where she's quite green, quite keen over 7 furlongs in debut. She dropped back down to the same distance and showed a lot of speed to jump out and make all from stall 14. And she was tying up inside the last 50 yards, but she just hung on to beat Brazilian Princess on that occasion. Base PK and the pace that she showed from the wide draw to lead, and she led by 2 lengths on the field throughout. I'd say dropping back 6 furlongs is really going to play to her strengths. And I don't think she has to make the running. I think Wayne Lorden from that draw would be happy enough to sit second or third just behind the pace. And I think she could be somewhat underrated given it was a 4-way photo for that maiden win. And Brazilian Princess only had a rating of 69 pre-race. But for me, she's the one that I'm most interested in. Natalie Lupini had a fantastic 2022. I have maximum respect for that operation. And she will be the value here, I think. It's going to be a good betting heat.
Yeah, it's good. I was just going to say, it's very hard to price that one. I'd say it'd be
any tissue prices available now?
My New Year's resolution, Cranberry. I failed, I think, within week one. But my New Year's resolution says, no, I'm not calling it. It's basically trees the field anyway on the tissue. So you should be getting a good price. Last race on the card is a 6 furlong sprint. It is humdrum enough. The Colin Keane booking again for James McCauley of Eaglish, the top weight, catches the eye. He's been around a few yards. Adam Caffrey, who had that brilliant ride on... the new Aido McGuinness horse, Real Appeal. If you haven't seen that, it was a lovely ride last week. He teams up again with Aido aboard Ziggy, who could be fancied amongst others. What's your take?
Yeah, two to watch after layoffs. Number 7, Teddy Boy, and number 12, Ecclesiastical, who's way down the ratings and will be very dangerous with James Ryan taking off £7. But both of them have better records on their second start after a break. So I'll watch them with interest as he had a shape up. You have Zigzag Ziggy, betrayed one last week. He beat Zigzag Ziggy and Here They Are, each of them four. And excuse me, not amused, there's four runners that betrayed. A nice winner in the day, made all to win. Well, and kept on strongly. He's only £4 higher, and you would not rule him out figuring, but I think he may well get a little bit more pace pressure here on this occasion. And I'm hoping for all the visually here of the hour, number 14 has 3 or 4 lengths to make up with Betrayed and Zigzag Ziggy on that run. I'm hoping that the first time blinkers and a likely strong pace with no speed limit drawn in stall 16 will draw a Hero of the Hour with Chris Hayes taking over into the race from stall 17. Not an ideal draw by any means, but I think he's a horse that may well be better with a little bit of room to straight. And if Chris Hayes can get on the back of no speed limit and the blinkers work, I think Hero of the Hour is handicapped to win a race of this standard, and he will be the value here.
Didn't you manage to get the last winner of the night last week? Wasn't it Chemical Energy? Oh, not Chemical Energy.
It wasn't
Chemical Energy.
Eddie Lynham's speaking, having a winner over a mile and a half. Yes, Celtic Revival, was it?
Yeah. Oh, good shout. It was definitely Celtic something. Yeah, so hopefully in the last Hero of the Era can do.
And that's the one thing about Dundalk Market. I actually went off him as regards a bet. At the opening, the bookie was 3-1. He returned 13-2. It's a flip-flop market, Dundalk, and I was kicking myself. But when you're concentrating on doing the job, PK, it's hard to keep up the market moves sometimes, you know.
That should be your job, to keep up with the market moves.
I know, but do you ever try and hold an iPad and microphone and try and text a lad about getting a bet on as well?
They say we can't multitask as men, and clearly that's putting that to the test.
Exactly, it was the last race, and we're thinking the Chinese probably as well.
Well, look, Celtic or Celtic Revival did the business for you 30-2. That'll just go down in the books. Hopefully, Here the Air can do the same. I'm going to get your naps next. Before I do, though, we don't have declarations in Ace on Sunday. Was there anything? I can't remember if you said you had a look at that before. I know obviously there's a couple of grade threes on the card, but was there anything caught the eye there, or am I?
Race 4 is a 4-year-old only hurl, and it'd be interesting heat in its own right. Sinbad Le Moran, trained by Willie Mullins, very, very keen on debut at Punchestown when he made the running, and he should be all the better for that experience. I'd expect him to be favoured on the back of that. He just tired inside the final furlong. Going back though to Limerick at Christmas, Biker, trained by Charles Burns, a former winner with Richard Hannon in Windsor, where he stayed on strongly to win over a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half, had a rating of 70 on that occasion. He was a big eye catcher on the day, having been very weak in the market on stable and hurling debut. I'd expect a good bit more improvement to come, and on better ground at Nace with the benefit of that run, I would monitor market moves closely for Biker, and he could be a big improver on his second start for the stable.
That is the 250 Nace, Biker with a Y. The Charles Burns kind of modus operandi in the last couple of seasons has changed. It's not a case of three runs in maidens and then suddenly spring into a hand. It seems to be win a maiden and then win a handicap.
Just keep people guessing, I think, isn't it? You know, you keep turning up and doing the same thing. People
they'll figure it out pretty quick, wouldn't they? Yeah.
I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast now, but
he's always texting me. All right, so that's Biker to watch out for on Sunday if he is declared. All right, then, Naps, next best. Where are we going, Dundalk?
Very, very competitive race 6. But I'm very keen on Dynamite Katie. I think she could be underestimated in the market with the likes of Anna and Cool Cam collected in the race, and Song Forever, who's likely to be well backed. I just think what she done when winning her second start over 7 furlongs, dropping back down a furlong with likely strong pace, I think she's very very, very progressive and open to further improvement. And she could well be the value of this race. And she's an apt evening. Have a couple more, but we'll keep going, will we?
Go on. As in, you've a couple
that's
more.
That's a nap. We might have an each way yeah, something or other. Yeah.
Okay.
Race two, Roman Bull. A very competitive mile and a quarter handicap, but I do think on the back of that layoff in early January, he will be all the better for it. Good draw on stall seven. Billy Lee back in the saddle. Extra place race. He should go very well, Roman Bull. I think Selective Power in race five is definitely worth another chance based on what he achieved two starts ago. I don't think anything went his way last time, and it's far better than that. So we'll make an each way double lovely, ideally with them two.
Excellent. Roman Bull and Selective Power. He's still going, folks.
And Fairy House Saturday. Wait till I tell you, I'll be waiting on him.
Oh, yes, that's it. We'll keep an eye out for that one. Thank you very much, Fran. Enjoy your weekend. What are the weekend plans?
Friend's birthday party Saturday evening. And
How old?
He's 50, yeah. So actually, it's delayed due to COVID, so it could be 51 or two. I must find out. So.
What do you do for a 50th nowadays?
Just drink.
keep it simple. Keep it simple. To the pub. Okay, fair enough. So it's not down the old leisureplex for a bit of bowling, no?
No, exactly. Yeah, that could be with the kids on Sunday, maybe, yeah.
Sure, look, fingers crossed. Listen, have a great weekend, Fran. We won't hear from you next week.
Next week I'm around Dublin Racing Festival. The following week we'll take it.
The following week you're on holidays. Ah, fair enough. Okay, right. Sure, we'll have to maybe meet up at the DRF anyway. Fran, have a great weekend. Enjoy the racing of the weekend, and we will talk to you next Thursday. As always, do stick around, folks. Stick around, keep an eye out. We'll have our weekend podcast out very, very shortly, looking ahead to the weekend action. Frank Hickey is back, folks, for that one, and Rory Delargy. Until then, take it easy.